I mean, I've learned a lot from this process. I did not even know what metadata was, but, you know, evidently they could have pinpointed.
I thought that was the data that didn't matter.
Yeah, no, it's the data that is going to tell them who it was. And
the data that doesn't matter, motherfucker.
Yeah, so yeah, it's been a learning curve, and I'm like a drooling moron when it comes to audio editing and related software issues. So
definitely have to get me on your team, James. Just for
in
the
fact, I've really been letting James down on that front.
Yes, Vinny is my Mac expert, and he's supposed to have been privately tutoring me, and of course, you know.
So, James, are you making a declaration that Macs are Masonic free?
Say again? I didn't quite understand.
He was wondering if Apple Macintosh is Mason free.
I'm sure they're chock full of them, but the good news is it's a Unix-based operating system, which is 10,000 times more difficult to hack than, you know, an MS-DOS based with something Bill Gates is in charge of. I mean,
not joking, by the way. There's actually an open contest somewhere I heard online, like $50,000 if you can prove that you can hack a Mac. Nobody's collected as yet.
That's true. Really? Yes. Yes. Now this cloud stuff has me nervous because they Apple just came out with this new free upgrade to the new OS called Mavericks, and supposedly once you install this, it's pushing you to store all your information in the cloud and all that, and that's something that I'm just not for doing at the moment, because since I bought the Mac, I've not had any information find its way off my hard drive into enemy hands, like what was happening with my Dell with Windows Vista, and so I'm very comfortable with
infiltrate through a cloud platform. It could infiltrate,
yeah, because that's out there, you know, in cyberland where they can pretty much do what they want and rule the roost.
Mm-hmm. Good, excellent. Well, I'll keep my Mac.
Yeah, I think, and you know, it's the best thing that that you could do. And matter of fact, I mean, depending on how sensitive of a whistleblower you are, you might give serious thought to getting your hands, you know, on eBay or Craigslist to an even older, like vintage computer to scan and type documents and things like that on that you know have absolutely no way whatsoever of being infiltrated and so on. So, I sound like an Apple commercial, but yeah, so far my life and the sensitivity of the information that I deal with has improved drastically ever since transitioning to a Mac. Definitely. Yeah.
Now, you called me like the hardest working guy on radio. Like,
man in the truth movement.
Well, I mean, I'd probably say there are people who work harder than me, but they don't produce 1/10 of the amount of content, because when you're using a Mac, you go from a video editing, for example, let me just describe this very quickly, to edit a 10-minute video on a PC took my friends 18 hours. To edit a 10-minute video for me on a Mac took me 10 minutes.
Wow. Okay? That's dramatic.
And edit a 3-hour video takes me about 3 hours. So however long the video is, and this is when you're doing very, very simple, very lack of cutting, and you're just kind of going as fast as you can, the length of the video will be about the length of the time you'll spend making the video if you're doing it right using the Eastwood method.
So one translation.
Exactly. So I'll put out, when I was on American Freedom Radio for a period of time, I'd gotten into a really good rhythm where at the end of every radio show, not only would I have the finished radio show recorded in audio and be able to put that up on the internet right away within an hour of the broadcast finishing, I was also able to get a 2-hour version with webcams and a HD camera on a tripod processed, mixed together and then cut between the two camera angles for an entire 2-hour radio broadcast and turn it into a TV show within the same day. For anybody to do that by themselves is unheard of. I once did three documentaries by myself in 3 nights. First length of the documentary was 3 hours and 26 minutes, and that bedtime was 6:20 a.m. This is one guy speaking in front of the camera, no separate camera angles. Second one that I made was with 2 separate camera angles plus slides for 3 separate fluoride, anti-fluoride dentists who conducted presentations in my home city of Auckland. That took a lot more effort, and the bedtime on that day was 7:50 a.m. And then the very next day, I had to finish off just a 30-minute presentation by one person. Oh, sorry, 40-minute presentation by a guy named Paul Waddell about electromagnetic radiation sensitivity. And the bedtime on that was actually ironically a bit longer because I edited it much better, finer detail than the other two. And that bedtime was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you're able to apply yourself and work out methodologies for how you can produce this quantity of work, the ways in which you actually use your programs. For example, if you're editing audio, edit them backwards. All right. Here's why. You'll come up to ad breaks and everything like that that you want to cut out. But if you're moving forward in the track, it always deselects the track that you want to edit next. Whereas if you're doing it backwards, it always edits out what you're doing behind you. It's about learning how your computer works and then developing a work schedule that minimizes the amount of time that you need to spend producing your content, because as we know, having free time is what freedom is really all about. And if you're going to spend all your free time fighting for freedom, then what the hell is the point?